Entrepreneurs, small business owners, professionals who seek excellence, bringing the business classroom to you. It's the Business Builders Show. Here's Marty Wolf.
We still got a long way to go. Yes, we all got a long way to go.
Hello, and welcome to the Business Builders Show. Tom, you like that enthusiasm right out of the gate?
Awesome. I'm so glad you had your coffee this morning.
I know you have other things you could be doing, but you have decided to spend some time with us. So on behalf of myself, Marty Wolf, your host, and my sidekick, Kerry Carney, isn't here.
Something felt different. Now I know what it is. Oh. Kerry's not here.
Oh, I looked over. He isn't there. So it's just you and me today.
We can do this.
Producer Tom Jenkins.
It's going to be a struggle, but we can do it.
We'll do great. So we miss Kerry, but he's spending some time with his family. He will be back next week. Our special guest today is the legendary master sales trainer, Tom Hopkins. Tom's book, How to Master the Art of Selling, sold more than 1.6 million copies. And Tom's latest book with co-author Ben Catt is poised to do very well also. The title of that book is When Buyers Say No, Essential Strategies for Keeping a Sale Moving Forward. Catchy title. Should get our attention. We are going to start the show with the discussion. Is the idea of a lone genius a real thing, or is it a myth? And then we're going to go to our interview with Tom, and we're going to close the show with one of my favorite authors, Robert Cialdini, and his book and articles around the six principles of influence or persuasion. This is really great information for business owners and entrepreneurs, and of course, salespeople. Good information for anybody who want to persuade others, like spouses. You know, mm-hmm. So there's all kinds of information here today.
Or talk show hosts
or stuff like that. Yeah, you got it. So, Tom, let's start with an article by, her name is Jill Krasny, and she writes for Inc. magazine, and the title of her article is Why the Lone Genius is, in parentheses, Mostly a Myth. And she interviewed an author whose name was Joshua Wolf Schenck. Wolf is spelled differently than mine. His is W-O-L-F, Joshua Wolf Schenck. Again, I'm going to say the title so we kind of get the thought process. Why the Lone Genius is, in parentheses, Mostly a Myth. Now, as we're talking about this, I want you to be thinking about, here's what I kind of get in your brain, that this is going to apply whether you're a startup. This applies when whether you're in your business and you're involved in problem solving, you want to do an expansion, you want to expand your team, when you're working in teams. So put it in that context. It's written in a different way, but as we're going through it, think about it that way. So she starts it out by saying, she talks about the founders of Google, Sergey Brin, B-R-I-N, and Larry Page, founded Google. And what she points out is that in the early stages, these two guys, they both said, you know, that other guy, he's pretty obnoxious. You know, that's what they said about each other. And there's other stories that we'll mention a few others as we go. But here's what the book is really about, and written by Joshua Wolf Schenck. The title of his book is Powers of Two: Finding the Essence of Innovation in Creative Pairs. So we're talking about primarily two people. And this is where the idea that she's talking about, and she's interviewing Joshua, is he believes that the lone genius is a myth and that creativity is inherently social. You know, we do think of you know, two people that often come to mind in the press and on radio shows and everywhere else is Steve Jobs and Mark Zuckerberg. And we tend to think of these guys, Tom, as the lone genius,
mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, the guys who went against all odds. So in Joshua's book, he says, well, you know, why do we look at it that way? And he says, well, it's very appealing. You know, the whole idea of a hero being on a journey, and, you know, it's cool in our culture today. And so why? So he went back and he said, you know, I find this fascinating, Tom. He said, well, it kind of goes back to the 16th century, where we're under rule of kings and all that other kind of stuff. And so everybody was pretty complacent. But along comes this hero, this individual who stands up against the kings. And so the whole idea started then, as a, and it probably as we got in closer to the Industrial Revolution, probably started to more, happen more. So I think that makes a lot of sense.
It's kind of like a romantic story that we all want to kind of just be a part of, or at least read about and say we experienced it.
That's exactly what it is. That's how our culture has accepted this, the folklore of that lone genius, right?
Yep, like Zuckerberg or Steve Jobs. Yeah.
Correct. So they're talking about creative pairs. Now, why is a pair? Why are two people special, like Kerry Carney and Marty Wolf? You know, why is that special? Why does that work? Because it just allows for differences, yet compatibility. One person can be more introverted, and the other person can be more extroverted. Tom, do you see the difference between me and Carrie?
It's blinding. I can see it. Yes. Yes. And it's a brilliant way on why you two work so well together.
Yeah.
But yet you're also a lot alike. You know, you have a lot of the same ideas, a lot of the same thoughts, but yet in the same breath, you're complete polar opposites. And the mutual respect you have for each other is what makes a great team, I believe.
Yeah, we'll leave the folks who don't know us that well kind of figure out who was the introverted one and who was the extroverted one. we'll leave that. You know, but why are two pairs? And then I like this. It's that it adds, so say, when the third person comes into the story, it says, you know what? The two working together is creative, and there's flow, and there's dialogue. But when a third person comes on, it kind of changes the mix. And here's an analogy that he says. Two legs are running, are for running or jumping, and three legs make for a solid table. So what that's all about is that, you know, it's exciting to work in pairs. Creativity comes when you're in pairs. And again, be reminded, this is whether you're a startup, whether you are, you know, want to grow. And how do these pairs work? Well, there is the difference of often what works in, well, Mark Zuckerberg and his chief operating officer work in this way. He's kind of the creative wild type, Tom, and she's the real serious business chief operating type. And that often is the case in businesses. You'll see that in businesses. You see the creative type will hire the sharper accountant and that kind of stuff. But why does sometimes this fall apart? Why do these pairs fall apart?
Easy. Why everything falls apart, and that includes marriages. Money. It
money.
All comes down to the big old green, and that's not jealousy. That is money.
It comes down to money, and you're right, and that's usually what happens. So why does that happen? Well, when you're together, and you're creative, and you're really flowing, and you're struggling, you're all in it together. But when the money starts coming in, all of a sudden you have to divvy up credit, and you have to divvy up money. It changes everything. So the whole story is about creative pairs and innovation and creativity and problem solving. And what we talked about here, you are going to see connections when we talk to Tom Hopkins, which is going to be, he's coming up next on the show. But think about some of the things we talked about here. So,
and if you want to read the whole article, it's Inc.com, Why the Lone Genius is Mostly a Myth by Joe Krasny.
There you go. You're listening to the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf. We'll be right back with our guest, Tom Hopkins.
Bringing the business classroom to you. It's the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf.
I've owned my company for 14 years now, and I can tell you that payroll is a four-letter word. I hate doing it. It eats up hours I don't have, and it costs me money I could be saving, but my accountant's too expensive, and I'm not sure who to call. But I know I need help.
We're Paychex, and we take all the hassles out of small business payroll. We save you time and money. It's easy. Call, fax, or give us your payroll information securely online, and we take care of the rest. We calculate the correct taxes, manage payments and direct deposits. We even send out your checks. Payroll doesn't need to be a four-letter word anymore. We're so sure that we can save you time and money that we'll give you a month's payroll free. Just for calling 877-650-0277. Get 1 month's payroll for free. Call Paychex right now. 877-650-0277. That's 877-650-0277.
The greatest customer experience I've ever encountered originated in an unlikely location. However, it created a story that's gone viral on YouTube and has been heard in person by over a million people.
Driver of the cab that's going to be mine jumps out of his cab, points at me in the front of the line, and shouts, "Are you ready for the best cab ride of your life?" Said, "I'm Taxi Terry." Great, I got the motivational cab driver.
This is Scott McCain. The lessons I learned from that amazing cab driver form the basis of my new book, Seven Tenets of Taxi Terry, How Every Employee Can Create and Deliver the Ultimate Customer Experience. No matter your position or the size of the organization where you work, you can grow your business and create distinction with these seven lessons. This new book is available on Amazon.com and wherever business books are sold. If a cab driver can deliver the ultimate customer experience, you can too. Discover the tenets to distinctive success in the Seven Tenets of Taxi Terry.
Presenting the thought leaders of today. It's the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf.
Welcome back to the Business Builder Show. Our special guest today is Tom Hopkins. Welcome, Tom, to the show.
Well, thank you, Marty. Good to be with you.
Tom Hopkins carries the standard as a master sales trainer and is recognized as the world's leading authority on selling techniques and salesmanship. He has authored numerous books on selling, including the classic, How to Master the Art of Selling. Another one of my favorite books Tom wrote is Selling in Tough Times. And now we have When Buyers Say No, Essential Strategies for Keeping a Sale Moving Forward. Tom Hopkins, what a delight that you're back with us on the Business Builder Show.
Well, thank you, Marty. Good to visit with you again.
Tom, you know, I know you were inspired. Your last book, I think it was your last book, not the current one, was Selling in Tough Times. And what was the inspiration? Was that? Was that partially because our country, what our country was going through? Give me the backstory on Selling in Tough Times.
Well, really, we had such a tremendous, hot, fabulous economy from 2002 to 2008. And in 2008, I saw what was coming, and I thought, you know what, it's going to get tough. A lot of salespeople were kind of spoiled, Marty, in those 6 years that were so darn good.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when I said, hey, we're going to have to now write, what do you do when it tightens up, when money gets tight, the economy turns on us? And so my timing was pretty good because 2008, 9, and 10, and 11 really were some pretty darn tough years. And now I see that everything is really coming back. Every one of my major clients says, hey, yeah, the market's heating up again and doing well.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what inspired me on that book. And I think what inspired me on this book, the When Buyers Say No, was those two letters, N-O, keep so many people in sales from making a tremendous income because they don't comprehend what the no could mean. They don't understand how to handle it. So we're receiving raves on this new book, and I'm just thrilled to, you know, share some ideas with your people.
You know, Tom, I love your work. I've been a student for a long time, and what I like about your work is that it addresses, I'll call it the beginner as well as to the advanced salesperson. I consider myself advanced as opposed to old, Tom, you know. I consider myself advanced or wiser. But there is so much information in this book of why, when buyers say no. So what are some mistakes that or maybe the biggest mistake that salespeople, what do they make when they hear a buyer, or as you call them, a potential client say no to their offering?
Well, first of all, I think the first mistake is they don't probe enough with questions to really get what the no is all about.
Mm.
And many people are saying no for different reasons. They may not have all the information they need to say yes. They may not financially have the capacity to say yes. They may just have the timing wrong for them to say yes. But the average salesperson doesn't ask enough questions to get the real hidden meaning behind the no. And many people say no out of a defense mechanism. They're afraid to say yes. And that is the biggest enemy that I think all salespeople have, and that's the word fear.
Mm.
And oftentimes the no is basically coming from a hidden fear. And so I try my best, as you know, Marty. I've been such a proponent of mastering questioning.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I, I have this little concept. I want a salesperson to become a master asker instead of a talker and teller.
Mm.
And I find that if you probe enough with questions, all of a sudden, bingo, you'll turn the hidden no into something you can handle and move on to close the sale,
mm-hmm.
which, of course, is what this whole book is about. I know my fourth year in real estate, I was 8 years in the business. I set some records, and that's when I said, man, I've got to analyze why people are saying no and then really do my best to teach people how to turn the no into the yes, which, of course, is how they make a great income.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think what you kind of base it on is something you call the, circle of persuasion. Can you kind of give us a summary of your... The
sure.
circle of persuasion, which there's a graphic in the book, which is great, but I think this is kind of the basis of what you're talking about, is it not, Tom?
It is. And Ben Cott, who is my co-author in this book, we met, and he started talking to me about his circle of persuasion. And as I analyzed it, I thought, gosh, with my training combined with Ben's concept of the circle of persuasion, it's just a great, very graphic a way of explaining to a salesperson how you can be hit with a no and end up turning it into a yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so the circle of persuasion, and then combining with my questioning and rapport building strategies, a new concept to really handle this darn NO that... It really means nothing to anybody if you don't learn how to handle it.
That's right. Yeah. And you know what? Before we kind of go in the detail, I want to get back to the details, but something popped into my brain. And it's later in the book, but I hope you'll allow me to ask this question, in the sense that sometimes salespeople hear the word maybe, and to them and their sales managers, they translate that into a yes. In my experience has been maybes often mean no. Would you agree?
I definitely agree. And if you think about the concept that we always teach, work on getting them to like you and trust you and want to listen to you. Well, if you're good at that and you're good at establishing rapport with people and creating a nice relationship, it's difficult for some people that are nice people to say no. And so it's easier for them to say, let us think it over, or maybe, and we'll get back to you. But in essence, those are hidden no's.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to learn how to handle that and take that from a maybe into a yes. And it's almost like, if you picture this, Marty, people have three words on their forehead. They have the no, then the maybe, then the yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like they have a meter on their nose that's going back and forth. You feel that?
I love that.
They start thinking, well, this guy I like, and this guy, maybe this is a good product for us, and well, yes, yes, yes. Then all of a sudden, if you say the wrong words, or if you don't follow the right presentation skill, that moves from the no or the yes to a